Good morning. Have you ever tried to put together a piece of furniture or assemble one of your kids' new toys without looking at the instructions? Anybody? And I know, right? We think, you know, I've got this. I can do this. I don't need no stinking instructions, right? Or maybe it's a recipe that you think that you have memorized, right? And you've gone through the process and you've either, you know, forgotten something or something just didn't quite go, you know, the way it was supposed to. And at the end, you know, of the project, you've got leftover parts. You've got a crooked shelf, an unusable toy, and maybe, you know, a bruised ego, right? It's frustrating because whether you're putting together a recipe or building a piece of furniture or putting together, you know, a toy, everything has a purpose. Every piece, every ingredient serves a purpose. And when we don't know what the purpose of something is, or we forget that everything has a purpose, it doesn't end well. The same thing is true, I think, in our lives. I think some of us, we forget that our life truly does have purpose. That is insignificant as we may think that we are, or the way that we feel we are, when it comes to God's kingdom, every person matters. Everyone is a piece of something bigger. I'm convinced that if everybody understood what part, what piece of the puzzle, what part of the instructions God wants them to play inside of his kingdom, so much more could and would be accomplished for his glory. And this morning, I just want to say to anybody who might feel as though you're just a spare part, or you're a missing piece, or you're just not sure where you belong, listen, not because I say so, but because God says so. You have something inside of his kingdom to accomplish for his glory, for his purposes. If you've not been with us over the last several weeks, we're winding down a series called Made for This, which is a series to help us flesh out our why. And again, just for review, we started with this question, you know, why am I here? It's a question that we all wrestle with. It's a question that we all think about. Why am I here? It can lead us to other questions, right? What's my purpose? What's my why? All of those things that we've all wrestled with are things we've been talking about. The anchor for this series has been Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. But I'll go ahead and read verse 8 and 9 one more time, and then we'll jump on to verse 10. Paul said this. He said, "For by grace are you have been saved through faith, and this is not your doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Let me just say one more time, your acts of service, the work that you do for God, has nothing to do with your salvation. Salvation is a gift. It's all by grace, full stop. But Paul didn't stop there. He continued, "For we are his workmanship," literally his poem, his handiwork, "created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And this whole series is about asking the question, what are the acts of service that God has made me for? And we've used this kind of paradigm, this filter, where we've talked about three different things: our passion, our pain, and our proficiency. Passion, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about, you know, what thrills me, what gets you excited. As you understand your passion, that begins to be a clue to maybe how God has wired you, the kind of acts of service that he has for you. And then last Sunday, we talked about our pain, what kills us, what thrills us, what kills us. those things that you've experienced in your life, pain within or pain without, things that you see and have experienced in your own life, and things when you look out that just break your heart, that cause you to feel, again, empathy and compassion and a pull toward, again, another clue as to what God may be calling you to when it comes to acts of service. And today, we're going to look at one more area to uncover, and that is our proficiency. And that's the question, what are my skills? Proficiency, what are my skills? What am I good at? What unique abilities has God given me to serve inside of his kingdom? Today, it's my goal that we would leave here understanding that your God-given, and again, let me say it again, your God-given skills are a piece of the puzzle to help you uncover and begin to live out your why. Like I said a minute ago, some of us feel like spare parts, unsure of where we fit in regards to his kingdom works. And as a pastor, that burdens me because I don't want anybody to feel like a spare part because it's simply not true. There are no spare parts in God's kingdom. But it also excites me. It excites me because if we could all together, collectively, begin to understand our place in God's kingdom as it connects to my skills, right, then I think we can see God do some great things. And again, some may minimize this piece of the equation, my skills, but I don't think we should overlook it. I think it's critical to understand and think about our skill set, our proficiencies, our what we're good at as part of the acts of service that God has given us. Why? Because God gave us those skills. Those skills that you possess inside of you right now are there because God put them there. Again, we've used the illustration of an artist working on a painting. Every brush stroke from the artist's fingers, right, has purpose. And we can say it this way, that God has brushed abilities into your life. Your talents, your skills, your proficiencies. They're part of his design specifically for each of you. And again, the things that you're good at, here's the good news, and it might be important news for you to think about. Those skills and abilities aren't just for you. The things that you're good at aren't for your benefit. God has placed those skills, those abilities in you to benefit others. I'm going to ask you several questions today, and we want to leave these questions up on the screen so people can write them down and think about them. But here's the first question I want to ask you. What would change in your life if you saw yourself as God's handcrafted masterpiece, created for a specific purpose? And don't run by that question, because I'm not sure that's how all of us feel, that we are God's handcrafted masterpiece. But if you really believe that, if you really saw yourself in that way, what would change in your life? 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter wrote these words to exiled believers and to us 2,000 years ago, or 2,000 years later. He said this, that each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Notice that Peter didn't say, if you have received a gift. He says, whatever gift you have received, meaning quite clearly that everyone has something to contribute, including your proficiencies, your skills, your talents, are gifts from God meant to be used for his glory. Now here's where I just need to kind of park for a minute and help us to distinguish between what we understand in the church as spiritual gifts and natural abilities. And I think some churches focus on one to the neglect of the other. Unapologetically today, this is not a message about spiritual gifts, but importantly, I need to remind you what the scriptures mean or what we talk about when we talk about spiritual gifts. Somehow, and I don't know how it happens, but somehow when we confess Christ is Lord and the Holy Spirit begins to dwell in us, he gives us spiritual gifts. Now, depending on who you are, the faith tradition that you grew up in, the list of spiritual gifts might vary. I've seen some lists of spiritual gifts that are about the 9 different spiritual gifts. I've seen spiritual gifts that are about 13 different biblical spiritual gifts. I've seen other lists where there are 30 plus different spiritual gifts. And I don't know exactly how to plant my flag on that side of things. So I'm not going to plant my flag. I would just say this, that somehow when we begin to put our faith in Christ, the Spirit of God dwells in us. He gives us spiritual gifts, not simply natural abilities, but something supernaturally happens inside of us that we can begin to do that we weren't able to do prior to confessing Christ. And I'm not going to get into the list today, but today, what I really want us to think about is our natural abilities. And to be truthful, I think they bleed into each other. I think when you look at the spiritual gift lists, a lot of people would say, well, that must be my spiritual gift because I'm actually pretty good at it. And I don't think that God wants to draw like these hard lines between our spiritual gifts and our natural abilities. I think there's some convergence between the two because it would stand to reason if God put a natural ability in you and then you came to know Christ, that he would infuse that ability supernaturally. So now you're not just using the ability for yourself, now you're using that ability for his glory. What I wanna do, just for a minute, is I wanna tease out some abilities and think about how some of your natural abilities can be used in God's work. Can we do that? Can I get super practical with you for a minute? I'm gonna put this up on the screen. So just spend a little bit of time thinking about the kinds of natural abilities that you possess. This is not an exclusive list. There's 1,000 more natural abilities that you possess, that this body possesses, that can be used for God's glory. This is about 10. But these are 10 ways that God could use our natural abilities for his glory. For instance, if you have the ability to teach or you're a good communicator, that means that you have the ability to articulate and explain concepts clearly, right? That's what a teacher is. Teachers don't just belong in classrooms, and I'm thankful for every teacher inside of a classroom. But if that's an ability that you have, I hope you understand that you are perfectly positioned to lead groups, Bible studies, mentor young people, spend time teaching biblical concepts. Maybe it's a specific passion that you have. Maybe it's finances. Well, if you have a teaching or communication ability, maybe God would want you to use that to help others learn how to handle their finances in a biblical way. Individuals with the ability to teach ought to be using that in some way, shape, or form, not simply as a career, and again, thankful for the careers of every teacher, but to say, okay, God, I've got this ability, how can I use it for your glory? Oftentimes, teachers, the last thing they want to do when they walk through the walls of their church is more of the same. I teach all week. When I come to church, I don't want to teach anybody nothing. And some of you need to teach me English, right? But understand, if that's an ability that God has given you, consider how might he want to use that in his kingdom. Let's move on. Hospitality. Some of you in this room just naturally have a way of helping feel loved and valued and seen. It just oozes out of you. People feel noticed, they feel seen, they feel valued, they feel loved when they're in your presence. That's a gift. That's an ability that some of you possess. And if you possess it, by all means, you should lean into it. And maybe that looks like opening up your home for meals. Maybe it looks like preparing meals for people who have need and taking it to them and just loving on them. It can obviously look like on inside of the church context, serving in a hospitality way. But hospitality creates space where people can feel God's love. Some of you have that gift. Others, not so much, right? God doesn't give that ability to everybody. How about creative arts? Do you know that creativity in all of its forms is a reflection of God's image in us? We are image bearers, and God is a creative God. So for those of you who are creatives, use your creativity. Lean into your creativity. If you're an artist, create visuals that can inspire worship. If you're a musician, obviously continue to lean in and help lead us into the presence of God. If you're a writer, consider writing devotionals or blogs or books or what have you that can encourage and challenge people to in their faith journey. Administration and organization. Some of you have that ability and you know it. You're good at it. It's little to no effort for you to look at a situation that's got all kinds of chaos and confusion and say, you know what? If we would just go boom, 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 this thing would be set up. Clearly define it. Way to go. Let's make it happen. I mean, if you're the kind of person who you know, you love spreadsheets and checklists, right? You have that gift, then use it. Churches need men and women with the ability to administrate and organize. Ministries outside of the church, local nonprofits, some of which I know of, need your ability to administrate and organize. But that's an ability that God can use inside of his kingdom. Construction and trades. Some of you are good with your hands. Others are named Ken. And Trent, Ken and I make fun of each other about how little skill we have to get things done with our hands. But anyway, but some of you are just the opposite. I mean, you can fix, you can repair, you can build, you can do anything with your hands. Listen, there are some of you in this room who will never sing, "Thank the Lord." But you can make a difference in this building by using those skills to clean and fix and repair and stay on top of things like water systems and other things that are breaking down in a building that is, you know, gone through renovations over the years that are now, you know, coming due because it's been 25. Anyway, we won't even get on that. But anyway, so again, but not just inside of a building. You can, you know, create opportunities to help people outside of this build, outside of these walls. Single folks or widows or older folks who need help with repairs around their homes. Going on a mission trip is a great opportunity to use those skills to jump on a plane and come with me and serve in powerful ways. Others, you're a great listener. You're great at counseling. Are you the kind of person who people seem to come to for advice? And sometimes I do that simply because you are a good listener. You may not have any formal training, but you excel at empathy. You excel at compassion and discernment. And you've walked with people. You have the ability to walk with people as they navigate grief or trauma or they're walking through different major life decisions. And if you can kind of think back to the times that people have said, "Hey, can we talk? Can we have a cup of coffee?" Again, they do that because you're good at it. And again, I'm thankful for every formal counselor that has gone through the journey of being trained and have that as a career path. But I'm also thankful for just for men and women who just they're relationally in tune and they can just slow down, listen, empathize, show some discernment, nudge them in the right direction. We need that. And if that's an ability you have, lean into it. Accept that. Receive that as, "God, you've given me this ability. I want to use it." Technology. Technology. Hello, we are in a tech world. Are you tech savvy? And I'm thankful for how the mission field is being tapped into with technology, but I think we can still tap into it a lot more here. And if you're tech savvy, there's all kinds of opportunities for you to lean into it. Again, whether it's things that we do here, or dreaming about how to use your passion for technology outside of the walls of a church to create opportunities to spread the gospel literally around the world with the click of a mouse. There are all kinds of ways. Are you a leader? I mean, do you have a knack for rallying people together? Leadership, remember, isn't about authority, it's about influence. And if you have the ability to step into a situation and just provide leadership, provide influence because you're just good at rallying people, you can lead a team in a church. You can organize projects, events. We need that. Medical skills, nurses, doctors, people who just, again, have that kind of training, therapists who can provide, again, provide for people's physical and mental needs, offering them spiritual encouragement. The first mission trip we took to the Philippines became a medical missions trip because that's who God brought together. A bunch of nurses and a bunch of people who had that kind of background. So it was very easy to take that trip and say, this needs to be focused on missions. And again, if that's your bent, think about how God wants to use you. Cooking, baking. Man, again, I'm thankful for those who, again, are skilled at baking, cooking, making meals, preparing meals for people who are grieving, or preparing meals for people who are celebrating, preparing meals for people who are just struggling, showing God's love in this deeply radical but very satisfying way is something that some of you need to continue to lean into. And again, that's not an exhaustive list of abilities. That's just a scratch in the surface. So sometimes what I think happens is we downplay our abilities. Well, I'm just good at fixing cars, or I'm just a good listener. And I want you to know something. There is no just attached to your ability. Whatever your ability is, whatever you're good at, whatever talent, proficiency God has placed inside of you, there is no just to it. God wants to use it to build his kingdom. Again, this is the beauty of God's grace. He and he alone who planted those natural abilities in us can elevate them to something supernatural. When we recognize that he is the giver of this gift, this proficiency, this ability, and we begin to ask him, what can I do with it? What do you want me to do with this ability? So here's another question that I want to ask you. What skill or ability have you overlooked? What skill or ability have you overlooked that God might want to use in a meaningful way in his kingdom? Think about that in your life. What is a skill or ability that you've overlooked that God might want to use? Again, one of the familiar passages when we talk about spiritual gifts is Romans chapter 12. But I think the application is perfectly suited for what we're talking about today, just those natural abilities. Paul wrote this. I think it's the best metaphor of the church, the metaphor of a body, right? Paul said this, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. Again, spiritual gifts directly is what Paul is talking about. And in this passage, he lists some. But I think we can apply it to our natural abilities. Again, when we think about our hands and our feet and our ears, they have unique roles. But they work together seamlessly, again, if they're functioning properly, right? The same is true for the church. Whether we're talking about our spiritual gifts or we're talking about our natural abilities, we all have a role to play. We all have a part to play inside of the body. And if any of us are neglecting our gifts, our proficiencies, our skills, our talents, whatever they are, then we all suffer. We are less than we can be if any of us chooses not to recognize their abilities, again, their talents or skills or proficiency, and say, this is my contribution. I mean, think about a sports team. All it takes is for one player on a sports team to decide, I'm not going to do my part to sabotage the whole team. Football team goes out on the field and the quarterback says, I'm just not going to throw the ball today. Just not going to throw the ball, or like my guy, throw the ball to the wrong team. Oh, this isn't a message on pain. We moved on from that. Move on. Anyway, the point guard decides, I'm not going to pass the ball. I'm just going to keep it to myself. I'm not going to do my job. The goalie, I'm not going to try to stop the ball. I'm not going to try to stop the puck. I'm just going to kind of, you know, stand there, right? Again, that image on the field of play when it comes to sports, like we get that. And yet there are folks who show up to churches just like ours and some inside of ours who just say, I don't want to do my part. I'm just happy just to show up. I'm just happy to be in the room. And I just want you to know, like, we miss something as a body when you don't lean in. We suffer. And again, that passage in Romans it highlights that interdependence inside of a church, that interconnectivity. Yes, we are individual parts, but we all work together. Your skill isn't just about you, it's about us. God has woven us, Zion, in this moment in time, in this generation, in this location, right? He's woven us together so that we together can make a difference for his kingdom. And when the whole body is leaning in, what a greater difference we can make. Here's another question that I'll ask you. How can your proficiency fit into the bigger picture of God's work through his church? How can your proficiency, what you're good at, where can it fit in? Where should it fit in? And again, this goes back to, if you're not sure where, that's the cup of coffee I'm talking about. That's us sitting down and dreaming together and listening and asking questions and teasing things out. And saying, okay, what about this and what about that? And have you considered this? And, you know, let's do that. Let's do that. But have you considered where your proficiency fits in this bigger picture? And if thinking about the big picture of God's church is hard, how about just thinking about this church, your church, my church, our church? How does your skill set begin to fit into what God may be doing or wanting to do here? I am thankful that many of you do know what your skill set is. And I'm thankful that many of you do use your skill set inside of God's kingdom. Whether it's inside of the body, things that we do here on a week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out basis, I thank you that in a church like ours, we have a diversity of abilities, a diversity of skills, and so many of you do lean into those skills to make what we do happen at Zion. I am grateful for that. And so I want to speak to those of you who know your skill set, know your ability, right? You know it, and you're using it. Here's my question, or I guess my challenge to you. How are you developing it? How are you developing it? How are you improving? How are you getting better? Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, Paul said this. He said, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And I want you to stick with me because I think this matters. And I think this matters in this season for us at Zion. Your proficiency, your skills, your talents, they are not static. They're not static. They are fluid. They grow. It grows. Your proficiencies, I believe, grow as you steward that proficiency well. Again, you're naturally gifted at teaching. You recognize that. Can you get better at teaching? Yes or no? Sure, of course, right? You can continue to work on your craft. You can sharpen the axe, right? You can get better. Are you good with technology? Is that a natural ability? Sure. But you can stay plugged into the cutting edge podcast. You can stay plugged into, you know, to the leaders in the industry to think about how to, okay, continue to grow and then leverage what you're learning inside of God's kingdom. Can cooks become better cooks? I guess, right? Is that cooks? Can you become a better, like you're a great cook, Missy. So anyway, but again, think about any of the abilities. Like leaders, you have a leadership ability. Guess what? You can read a book on leadership to get better, right? Are you whatever it is. I'm not going to go back through the list, but think about your skill, your ability, your proficiencies, and ask, how can I grow this? How can I develop this? How can I cultivate this gift for God's glory? I mean, the simple illustration is a musician. The talented, natural musician still needs to practice. They still need to practice in order to reach their full potential. The same thing goes for the natural-born athlete, right? If you're a natural-born athlete, that natural ability only gets you so far. You need to work to get better. So when it comes to your skills and proficiencies, this year, 2025, what can you do to get better? Take a class, seek a mentor, dedicating specific time to improve those skills. And here's the thing that I want you to hear me say. The effort that you put into improving your proficiencies is an act of worship. It's an act of worship. Or it should be. And I think this principle, again, and maybe this is language that is a new way to think about it, but when we think about the sanctifying work of Christ in us, what is sanctification? It's our ongoing growth in our walk with God, right? That we are being changed from one degree of glory into another, so until Christ is formed in us. Like, we understand that God sanctifies us spiritually, that there's a process to get from here to here in our walk with God. I think the principle just carries over into to our proficiencies, right? Like, I'm here when it comes to my skill. I want to get a little bit better, and I want to get a little bit better. I want to get a little bit better. I want to improve. Again, not for my benefit, but because I want God to use me in greater ways. When we commit our efforts to him, our proficiency becomes a tool for his purposes, shaped and led by his Spirit. So here's another question. What steps can you take? What steps can you take to grow in the skills God has given you? And I can't say that without reminding us of the parable of the talents, right? And we're not going to preach Matthew 25. Most of us are familiar with the parable of the talents and the story, right? A master entrusts his servants with a varying amount of money. And again, this is specific. The parable specifically uses that idea of money before he leaves on a journey. And the servants, take some and some of them invest. And then one decides, I'm just going to bury my talent. I'm going to bury this sum of money. The others, again, invest and they get a return on the investment. The master comes back and he rewards, he blesses those who took what they were given by the master and invested and use it and produce and multiply more with it. And the one who just had the one talent and buried it and did nothing with it, he's the one who is rebuked, right? Out of fear of messing it up. And I think some of us live in fear of messing it up, but the lesson I think is clear for us is that God expects us to use what he's given us. He expects us to use what he's given us. Playing it safe or ignoring our gifts is not, should not ever be an option. He's looking for faithful stewards who recognize this is a gift from God, and I'm going to use it for his glory. A gardener, if he took the seeds, right, and planted them, that's a good thing. But if he never waters them, what's going to happen? The seed dies. I think it's the same thing with our skills. If we recognize I have this ability that God has given me, but I'm not going to do anything with it, it just lays dormant and it dies, in a sense. God's not doing anything with it. So my encouragement is to step out in faith and put those abilities to work. One last question. Today, on this day, are you actively using your proficiency? Or have you been hiding it in fear, out of fear, or out of doubt? Where are you? What are you doing with it? So what's the takeaway? What do I want you to leave with? And the worship team, you guys can come. We're going to sing here for a little bit and let you all just wrestle with this. Your proficiency, we all agree, is a gift. Whatever you deem to be what skills you bring to the table, whatever it is, it's a gift. God's given it to you. Uniquely. You. He's given it to you. How can the mission of God move forward? How can the kingdom of God be expanded and grown through your gift? When you're using your gift, it's an opportunity to bring glory to God. It's an opportunity to fulfill your purpose, to lean into your why. And then going back to those other things, if somehow we could figure out our passion, understand our pain, tap into our proficiency, and just like a Venn diagram and kind of overlap them a little bit, the middle of where those areas begin to touch, that is your why. I'm passionate about it. Man, I'm burdened with this. I'm pretty good at this. And when you see the convergence of all three of those things, I believe X marks the spot. You have uncovered your why. And again, we're going to move on from this series after today, but I don't want to move on from this idea, this area of focus. It's why I'm committed, as many of you as want to, are willing to sit down and either just have a conversation to affirm your why. Hey, Pastor Trent, I want to share with you. I want to articulate. I know what I'm passionate about. I know what I'm burdened by. I know my pain, and I know what I'm good at, and here's how I'm leaning into it. Man, let's celebrate that. Let me high five you. Let's have you come up and share that, because you sharing that might encourage somebody else to say, I need to think more about my why. Because I think when we discover our why, we begin to come alive. We begin to come alive. We know the acts of service that God prepared in advance for us to do. And we can now say, I'm chasing after it with all my heart. As it relates to your gifts this week, here's what I want you to do. Take an inventory of your gifts, your abilities, your proficiencies. Take an inventory. Just think about it. Start writing them down. Ask your spouse. Ask a friend. If you're in a D group, make that a part of your conversation. Hey, what do you see in me? What's the skill set that you see in me? What do you see as my abilities? Get feedback from others. Pray over them. And then begin to say, God, how do you want me to use them? How do you want me to use these gifts for your kingdom, your glory, and the good of others? Let's bow our heads. Some of you today know exactly what your proficiency is, your abilities, your skills. You know it, and I'm thankful for it. So my challenge to you is, have you given yourself to God in that way? God, I know what you've given to me, and I want to use it for your glory. And if you've never done that, or you've been dormant, when it comes to your abilities. Confess it, repent, and say, God, no more. I'm not going to let this thing in me just lie dormant anymore. You gave it to me. I want to begin to use it. And you might want to come and kneel and pray. Others might be like, God, I've never really wrestled with my abilities. I've never really thought about it. And what I'm saying today is a little new, a little fresh. Maybe it's causing you to kind of go like, I need to wrestle with it. This makes sense, but I've never thought about the connection between what I'm good at and how God may want to use them. For you, I invite you to come and pray and say, God, help me. Help me to begin to see clearly what it is that you want me to do. And again, as we always say, like this time isn't just, you know, to wrap up our service. This is a time for us to think about, to meditate on, and then to respond to whatever it is that God is saying to us. And so I want to invite you to do that. I'm going to pray, and then we'll stand and we'll sing a couple of songs. And if you want somebody to pray with you, pray for you, come and kneel and pray, and we'll do that. If you want to pray in your seat, you can do that as well. Father, we love you, and we thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the opportunity, again, to unpack some truths that I pray are helpful to people. And God, continue to move us closer in line with who you want us to be. God, I pray for anybody that might be here who's never started a relationship with Jesus. I pray that even a message not about, you know, following you specifically, Christ, that you would speak to their hearts and begin that they would begin to recognize that as the starting point that they need to begin with. God, move in our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing as God is leading us.